Well, you won't find Week 10 on your schedule because it really is not Week 10 as much as it is the opening round of the state football playoffs this coming weekend. And tonight we get you set for that with the two dozen Shore Conference teams that will begin play this weekend in search of a sectional championship. Kevin Williams along with Matt Harmon and Ed Sarluka live at the Water Street Grill in downtown Tom's River on a Thursday evening, the 14th of November. Good lineup for you tonight as we take you right till 8:30 here on 105.7 The Hawk. Among our guests tonight, we'll talk Shore Blue Devil football in just a few minutes with their head coach, Mark Costantino, and their outstanding senior quarterback, Matt Mew. A little bit later in this hour, we go to Colts Neck, or actually Colts Neck comes to us.
They come to
head
us.
Coach Greg LaCava, and of course, Anthony Garguillo is outstanding running back and linebacker. Gargiulio, who's one of the top players in the Shore and has been for a couple of years. They'll join us for a little quality time. Later on tonight, we'll get you set for our broadcast tomorrow night, a South Jersey Group 3 opener with Barnegat hosting Pemberton. We'll chat with the head coach, or the quarterback of the Bengals, Junior St. John Erskine. Of course, in between all of that, our weekly spot with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan, our own Scott Stump, and a lot more on this Thursday evening. It is playoff time, fellas. You know, we always say it's hard to believe we were here a couple of months ago previewing the season. 25 teams qualify from the Shore. 24 will compete. We'll talk a little bit about the one that's not. I think it's an interesting story in its own right. But as we get you set for this opening round of the playoffs, let's look back on Week 9. And, Matt, I'll throw the ball to you first. You know, the big one for us was the championship showdown in Class A South, and with Jackson got out a hard-fought 9-7 win over Brick, and as we kind of described it, a throwback game. If you were looking for, you know, if you were looking for spread offenses and pistol attacks, you were in the wrong town that night.
Yeah, you were not going to get a whole lot of it that night when you think that the two teams combined threw for under 100 yards. That's together, and the ball only went up in the air 13 times between the two. You know, I thought about this game, Kevin, and talked with a couple of people about it. Actually felt leaving the game and then, you know, again, talking in conversation with it a day or so later. Actually felt bad for Brick. Only because they basically lost their backup quarterback. They already didn't have their starter. Then they lose their backup in Phillips, and they have to go back to the Wildcat. And basically, not that I think it was going to be a big part of their game plan anyway, throwing the football. It was completely eliminated from their game plan. So, you know, you kind of take that with a grain of salt a little bit, but it doesn't take anything away from the win from Jackson. You know, they earned that one and earned the right to be able to call themselves the top team in A South this year.
Yeah, just for Brick to stay in that football game the entire game and then have a chance to win it at the end there, you know, says volumes for the Dragons. You know, I thought they probably, you know, it's hard to say they were the better team, but, you know, Jackson did enough to get the W and win their championship, so.
We'll save discussing the Colts Neck Middletown South game until our Cougar guest appear with us elsewhere around the Shore last weekend. I think a terrific Class A Central matchup. Rumson with a late touchdown beats Manasquan 22-15. Two teams that hope and expect to go deep into the state playoffs.
Yeah, good football game. You know, Charlie Volker, we had him in here last week. Again, it was his show. Ran for, 132 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So, you know, Rumson, who has relied on Volker the entire season, may have to pull out a couple other offensive threats in order to go all the way.
You know, the fun thing about that game, you know, if you're a Rumson fan and maybe a Shore Conference fan, is that it keeps that game alive with Red Bank Catholic, so the division will be decided when those two teams play. I know it's state playoff focus, but it is fun. If you're going to have it be on Thanksgiving and over that time period, it's nice when a championship is on the line.
Absolutely. What else around the Shore last weekend struck you at anything?
Well, I went to the Brick Memorial Lacey game, and Lacey continues their free fall. 40-7 Brick Memorial, and that could have been in the 60s if Memorial had kept their starters and they pulled everybody in the middle of the third quarter. But Lacey now has lost four in a row. Brick Memorial has won five of their last six.
And I have the irony of the whole thing. Lacey playing Brick Memorial, they are swapping what they did last year.
Yes.
Brick Memorial started last year, won their first five, lost their last five. Lacey's on pace should they get beaten in the playoffs this weekend
to do the exact same thing. Yeah.
You know, and who would have thought that when we saw them early?
Crazy to see that the just absolute nosedive that Lacey has taken during the course of this season.
RBC rolls over Monmouth 49-7. Of course, the Caseys, really the success or failure of their season will depend really on what happens in the state playoffs. Unfortunately, that's what it is. And you know what? They've got a brutal draw.
Unlucky draw.
And by the way, anyone who thinks it's a foregone conclusion that they play St. Joe's Montvale in week two, well, you better not forget about this Immaculata team they're hosting tomorrow night. That will be a stern test for RBC.
Yeah, who previously last week beat unbeaten Phillipsburg in a contest. So Immaculata, one of the better programs in the state.
A couple of other things that I thought were nice. How about Modern Day Prep? The story of the Seraphs has really been a great one. And that was a stunner last week. They beat a Spotswood team that I think came in with a record of 6-2. Won it 30-24 in overtime, and they're headed to the playoffs. And, you know, congratulations to Coach Steve Sharapin of things they have accomplished there.
5-4 and Modern Day. I mean, who would have thought you'd be able to say those two things and put them together and actually have it be reality? They have done a tremendous job during the course of this season.
And, Ed, I'm going to throw this one to you before we sort of move into our first guest. We've got a couple minutes before we bring in the guys from Shore, and that is the St. John Vianney decision. St. John Vianney actually qualified for the playoffs with a 3-5 record. But the school, not the football program, the school adopted a policy last spring that if any of their teams qualified for a tournament who had less than 500 records, they would not enter. They would not go in, which is their prerogative, because, quoting their athletic director, we're striving for excellence, basically, not mediocrity. I totally applaud it. Now, I understand, I guess there were some people that were not happy and probably some parents on the football program and all that. I think it's great. Of course, you know, don't go by me. You're an ex-coach, so I'm going to ask you what you think and, of course, you know, what you think the Lancer coaches might be thinking.
Well, I'm one that doesn't agree with it. I say if you declare yourself eligible for the playoffs, then you've got to play it out.
But they don't have to. They have a
I understand that.
And the NJSIAA clearly said when they submitted it, they said that, and they were okay with it.
Okay, I guess when it occurred is what I don't agree with. I mean, it occurs after the schedule came out of who they were playing. That's when it was determined that they are not going to play, you know, in other words, on Sunday.
It's not.
Well, I understand. I know. I just don't like the idea that they were in it, then they weren't in it, you know, and that's my opinion.
All right, well, listen.
Now, I'll go to Matt on this, Matt, and you might be able to help us out. Have all the schools that were under 500 not entered the state? I heard through the grapevine that maybe soccer did enter the state tournament and were not at 500.
You know, I did look that up, Ed, because I was curious about it. And the record going into the tournament of one of the teams, I don't remember if it was the boys or the girls. I'll see if I can pop it up on my computer in the next minute or so that we can at least close the point. One of them had an under 500 record, but I don't know if it was under 500 when the cutoff took place.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's hard to kind of say where that was along the way. Mm. The only thing I would say about it, guys, is I was surprised
more so than
anything else. I would have thought that would have been something that you could have talked about maybe even prior to that week of almost saying, if we don't win this game, we are not going in to the state playoffs at 3-5.
My understanding is when you submit your paperwork, which I believe had to be at least a month ago, because you get to choose, like, if you're home, when do you want to play Friday night, certain things.
Right.
They made it clear to the NJSIAA then that if, now remember, had they won, by the way, this only really became an issue because they lost to Raritan last week 23-20, which was an upset.
Yes.
And had they won that game, they would have been 4-4, and we wouldn't have this discussion. Just an interesting dynamic to the whole thing. I don't know that it's crazy controversial, but I guess it has opened up some eyes. And again, me, and don't go by me, because listen, I'm a lefty, so what can I tell you? I like it. I think that's a great philosophy. I think it's a sham in any state tournament that teams without a five losing record get in. I don't care, soccer, bad, and I know the state went to that a couple years ago. I think it's horrendous, and it does, to me, it lowers the bar. I want to raise the bar, not lower the bar.
Well, so, I agree with you in that category. You almost kind of feel bad in a way for the St. John Vianney team. Maybe they weren't necessarily aware of this. One team that right now is riding high as we go into our first segment, that is the Blue Devils of Shore Regional. They will enter into this state playoffs coming up this week with a game against Palmyra in the 1-8 matchup in Central Jersey Group 1 with a 7-1 mark. They're under the direction of Mark Costantino, who's good enough to give us a couple minutes with his senior quarterback, Matt Mew. Guys, thanks for coming down. Know a little bit of a ride tonight, but always good to see you and talk some Shore Regional football.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for inviting us.
You know, Coach, as I was getting ready for the night tonight and kind of peeking through, I actually went back into the guide before the season that comes out. 22 years. Does it seem like it's been that long for you?
No, you know what? No, it's crazy. It goes so fast. And I still remember my first day of practice as head coach back in 1992. I always wanted to be a high school football coach. That was my dream. And the first day of practice, I'm on the field. It's August, like, 12th, it's hot. And I was like, I can't be on the head coach. This is great. I still love it. You know, it's just the way it is. Very lucky.
Matt, has it been, you know, you now in your fourth year, have you seen Coach change at all in the last couple of years?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, he's just as intense as he was when I got here. I mean, I came in my junior year. Well, this is my second year at Shore, but he's been the same guy since I got here. I mean, I love him.
I've known Matt since he was 5 years old. Him and my son have been playing Pop Warner together forever. He was the quarterback and Mark was a running back since he was six. You were five. The flag football they were playing.
Well, tell us your story, Matt, where you came from and so on.
Oh, I mean, I grew up as a Shore kid. I mean, I was Pop Warner, flag football up, I mean, right through eighth grade. Then my family decided we wanted to move out to Homedale. And sophomore year, it just wasn't working out. My family wanted to move back. I couldn't be happier to be back at Shore, so.
Me too.
Okay, Matt, I'm sure Coach smiled when he heard the transfer was coming. But anyway, Matt, the only negative thing I'm going to talk about all night, you know, I'm going to take you back to the championship game last year, okay? Mm-hmm. Fourth and inches on, what, 15 or so yard line. Did you have the first down?
I have no idea. I like to think I did.
What was the play?
Well, it was on me. We had a situation where we said we're going to call timeout. If we didn't like what we saw, we're going to sneak it or call timeout.
Okay.
There was miscommunication in the huddle. It's totally on me. I told Matt, let's go for it. Two of the linemen were going to call timeout.
Weren't on the same page.
And didn't fire out. And he fired out, and so it was very close. So after the game, they're like, why'd you go? I said, it's on me. He looked at me. I said, go for it, Matt, go for it. So it's on me. Wasn't him or the linemen. They didn't know. It comes back to me. I should have been clear in my instructions and probably should have banged the timeout and talked it over on fourth and inches and something like that. But, you know, it was close.
Matt, I mean, there are obviously maybe more difficult ways to lose a game. But when you're in that situation and you walk off the field, you with maybe another year and some of the other younger guys, I would imagine that was almost something you talked about immediately. Like, we're going to remember the way this feels because we want to get back to this spot and make sure we can turn it around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough to let something like that go, but it's been in the back of our heads all off season. I mean, we couldn't wait to get back and put ourselves in position to win it again. I mean, we want it.
When you think, Coach, about how the year has gone, I mean, you've put together 7 wins in a row, that one loss coming in your first game against Rumson, 13-6. They haven't been beaten by anybody during the course of this year either. So, you know, if there's one of those things you say, it's a good loss. I know that that's been the opening game for
Absolutely.
You. And it's been a rivalry game. But I would say maybe any questions that you had and what you didn't have coming back from that team that made it all the way to the finals, you probably answered a lot of questions even in that loss.
Yes, after that game. And I felt we should have won the game. We controlled the whole second half, didn't finish. But I told the boys after the game in the hall, if you play like this, you're not going to lose again the rest of the year. You're not going to see a better team this year than Rumson, and we had them. And they deserved to win. It was a great high school football game. And next year when we do our schedule, I said, I know it's an uphill battle for us. I want to keep them on our schedule because it's great for both schools. It's great. And it's one of the most underrated rivalries in the Shore Conference. I'm like, I would play them on Thanksgiving. We tried the game on Thanksgiving, and they couldn't pull it off on their end, and not, you know, they won't probably see, I guess, but us and them on Thanksgiving would be a great game.
Matt, and I will vouch for Kaz here. I saw him the next day on Saturday following that game, and he came up to me and said, Coach, we will not lose another game. I guarantee it. You could take that to the bank, you know. And sure enough, he's, like you said, he's run off seven straight. It seems like the defense this year, Kaz, has been playing great. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're a little bit surprised at that because we graduated 19 seniors from last year's team. And that's a lot of kids from any program. So I knew I had a handful of guys like Crystal Cups sitting there and Matt who could play for anybody in the Shore Conference. But we had a returner. We only had like six guys, and they both going both ways. So we were a little surprised at that. We had a brand-new secondary. And the first game, we made a couple mistakes in our pursuit lanes, and they had two long touchdown runs, which hasn't happened since. And I think the average, I did the stats the other day, I think teams are getting 2.3 yards per rush against us. So, wow. You know, we're doing a great job there, and it's a total team effort. There's not one person, and we put a seven-man, we're an eight-man front team. We do a seven-man front. We mix things up, and they've picked it up, and they're, when you have guys like that, you can coach, and they listen, and they look at you, and you do it again. That's not right, and they do it right, you know, it makes it easy.
Matt, you know, for you guys, we talk about the one that you missed last year with the opportunity to win a state championship. There's also another game coming up on your schedule. And knowing that we'll probably only have you down here and maybe talk to you before, there's still a division championship that is out there for you guys as well. So not one loss to kind of avenge yourself from a year ago, but almost two. And I know as coaches sitting next to you, and every time we have coach and player here, we try and prod the player a little bit to talk about a game that might seem so far in the offing. You have two. But
I'm kicking his foot in.
You know, you guys have to be saying, you know, of course we want to win a state championship, but even before we do that, you know, we want to make sure that we're the best team in B Central, too, and try to knock off Point Beach when you guys play.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously we want to win a state championship, and obviously we want to win, you know, the division. But, I mean, state's coming up this week, first round of playoffs. That's all we're focused on right now. I mean, take it 1 week at a time. I mean, it's definitely important we try to win the division this year after how it happened last year. I mean, two tough losses, division and states, but it's all equal right now.
Matt, tell us a little bit about some of the other offensive stars that surround you.
Oh, I got a great offense. My line, I couldn't trust my line anymore. I mean, I got Okupski sitting right there, all 300 pounds of him.
I see you brought your bodyguard with you. That's good.
He's on his third set of wings, by the way. Watch out.
I mean, we got our other tackle, Matt Proto. He's just as good as anybody in the Shore Conference. Yeah. I mean, he's great. My backfield is great. I mean, we got a lot of experience in Francisco and Miller. Murphy, and then we got the sophomore, Doug Goldsmith, really coming alive for us this year. So,
Matt, I know a big kid, 6'4", 220 pounds. College plans are, you know, Bucknell, right? Not a bad school to check into next September.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be an experience for sure. I can't wait to continue my career.
Kaz, you think he's got a chance to play right away up there?
Yeah, I've been friends with Joe Susan for a long time. We used to do summer camps together. And when Joe called me last year, and I said, I got a kid for you, Joe. He's unbelievable and fits your style. And Joe came in, and he talked to him. I sat in the back, and when Matt went back to class, Joe looked at me and goes, I love him. I really love. I said, I'm telling you. And he says he has a chance to play right away, he thinks. You know, so for him, it's a great opportunity.
Matt Mew, Mark Costantino here on our Thursday night show talking about the Blue Devils of Shore Regional. Coach, a couple things as you guys get set to take on Palmyra in the 1-8 game in that Central Jersey Group 1 bracket. We talked about Rumson, and then the following week you beat Asbury by 10 and then a pretty good game with Metuchen. But since that point, it's been basically blowouts week in and week out. And that's no disrespect to anyone that you play. But is there maybe a little level of concern going in now to the playoffs where you guys are going to have to take it from this level to now this level because it becomes one and done a little bit?
That was the last thing I talked about at practice today. Early on, we had a bunch of injuries, so we had a couple close games we shouldn't have. And we're healthy now. We actually just got – Chris has been out for two games with Kupski, broken foot. He's back now. We got our D lineman, one of our best linemen, who's 6'5", 250, who's been out for the whole season. Got hurt in our first scrimmage. He's got cleared. He's playing. So we're finally healthy. We are not letting this opportunity slip through our fingers. We had a tremendous week of practice. So, no. You know what? They got to come deal with us. You know, we're a tough home playoff team. I think our all-time record is 12-2. We're 10-2 home. And, we don't plan on losing. You got to come deal, and you better be ready to play at this level. Every day, everybody sees me doing this, and he's a lot taller than me, so I reach his chin. But you got to be at this level. You want to play with us. That's the way it is.
Let's talk a little bit about the bracket. You know, you've got an undefeated school in there at ranked number 2, South Hunterdon. What do you tell us a little bit about what you know? I know you don't want to look ahead.
No,
but,
we scout them. I've been scouting everybody.
You've got Florence in there, of course, the defending champion. You've got Beach in the bottom bracket. The top bracket you may have to deal with Asbury Park again if they could get by South River, who you've played already, right?
Yep. The bracket's there's 4 or 5 teams I think that can win it. I think we're the best team in the bracket. That doesn't mean we're going to win the game, but I think we're the best team top to bottom. Our special teams is tremendous. No one can. I think we have the best kicker in the Shore Conference. Jake is unbelievable. So that's a whole other factor there that we work on every day. We get past Palmyra, and we beat those two other teams, but that doesn't playoff time. You know, it's different. Anything you deal with. South Hearn is a solid team, a good team. I've seen them play. They run a triple option, a split back veer, and their coach has been there a long time. So I know I've coached against him a few times. So we know what they do. They know what we do. So it's a matter of, whoever comes out of that bracket, it doesn't matter. We're just going to get after them. I'd like it to be Florence.
Yeah, well, sure, you'd not like another shot. Matt, does it concern you or does it bother you that because Shore is a small school that you don't get the notoriety in the overall picture of Shore Conference football?
I mean, not at all. I mean, I guess a little bit, actually. I mean, we like to do what we do. We week in, week out, we get it done. I mean, it's tough not to get the notification we feel we deserve, but, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. So, I mean.
Well, you win a state championship, you get singled out pretty quickly,
well,
you know.
We've talked about it, though. It's kind of, when they don't even come to your games, it's embarrassing. I think we should have our stats in the paper. We sent our stats in. Yeah. We lost to Rumson by 7, a game we probably could have won. And we got forgotten about.
Right.
We're the quietest 7-1 team in the Shore Conference. I think many of the social media is missing the boat. They should embrace a program like ours and what we bring to the Shore Conference every year. They should, and it's not happening.
Coach, do you play that up on a, I hate to say daily, but maybe weekly basis?
We talk about it. It motivates me as a coach because I see what goes on in the bigger schools. They're not better coached. My coaching staff is the best coaching staff in the Shore Conference, top to bottom. I have a tremendous coaching staff. What our program gets done is amazing every year. I mean, come on, we graduate 19 seniors from a Group 1 program. We're here again, 7-1. Doesn't happen very often. They should embrace us. And we talk about it, but you know what I tell them? What we're going to do is focus on getting better every day and win next week.
Matt, what's it like to, as you look kind of at the stats of what you guys have done during the course of the year? You say quarterback, but this is a run team first. If you look at you guys' offensive stats, over 1,900 yards on the ground and just about 500 yards through the air. Those are your numbers. Do you wish that maybe the reins got taken off a little bit more so you could throw the ball? He's not listening. We turned his headset off. He didn't even hear my question.
It's whatever's going to win the game. I mean, of course, you'd like to throw the ball as a quarterback, but I don't mind. I don't mind at all. I just want to win the game.
You talked about some of those guys, and the numbers are really good, coaches. And it's been that way for a long time with Shore. When you think that you're running for just about 240 yards per game, and the one thing that probably is nice, in addition to Matt, and he mentioned some of the guys before, in Miller and Goldsmith and Murphy and some of the others, you are deep at that running back position. You can kind of spread the ball around a lot.
Well, the good thing about the wing T, it's a very democratic offense because it's a four-back attack and you can rotate kids in. But, we have a couple kids who we think are standing out now, so we're going to highlight them. But with Matt throwing the ball, we will throw on any down. I mean, this guy's a weapon. And if you don't defend him, you're going to lose real fast. So I just wish we had more experienced receivers for him at times because I can't tell you how many times the team's been dropped, but yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the wing T because it's the offense you've always run. It's becoming sort of a dinosaur.
Until you try to defend it, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's tough to defend, that's for sure.
Because everybody wants to run that spread runaround nonsense.
There you go.
And then you come at him, that's my point. And you punch him in the face like 5 times in a row, like, this is not fun. Yeah, here it comes again. Here comes power sweep. Here comes belly.
Here comes waggle.
Here it comes. Stop it. You know what? Winning's not boring.
You know, a lot of coaches don't realize, a lot of fans don't realize, but the wing T, there's only some basic plays. And you
can expand it. With this guy, we've expanded it.
Yeah.
We're so much for spread wing T. We're a jet and rocket. We live in the flats. We're on the flank now. Mm. We're on balance, but at any time, we're going to let it go. And it's fun. Matt's a weapon. He's definitely, as a quarterback, the talent he has is the best kid I've had at quarterback. So we want to take advantage of that. And he's the wild card in the playoffs. And I know my opponents know it. And you know what? You better know because I have no problems unleashing him at any time.
Matt, one more for me for you. You're sitting here, and ever since you guys popped on, you kind of have this smile on your face every time Coach talks. And I say that in a good way. It's almost like you are enjoying the fact, sitting there listening to your head coach talking with such a passion about the football program that you guys have at Shore.
It's hard not to be happy. I mean, he's about as confident as the guy as there is.
Yeah, we're a big family. It's crazy. We have so much fun.
It helps to have a coach that's just
We laugh too much in practice. I think we laugh too much.
Maybe a little bit.
Matt, how about the kids in school? Are they behind you? You get some people. You got two home games coming. You know that, right?
Yeah, well, we're trying to get the student section out. And it's a small school. You don't know how many kids you're going to get. But the football team, we're tight. We're family, so.
It's hard to get any ink in that school with the field hockey program up there. I mean, everything going on up there revolves around field hockey. I know you guys are obviously...
I disagree with that.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
I know.
I know you guys are looking forward, obviously, to getting this one up and going on Friday night. How many of you, assuming that you win, or let's say that you win, how many of you guys will make the trip player-wise to the game Saturday afternoon with Asbury Park and South River to get a look at them?
Hopefully everybody. I mean, we've seen both teams, but we need to scout as much as we can to get ready.
You go back up there and take another look at them?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Coach?
No stone unturned, man. We're going to get past Palmyra, and then Saturday we'll do films, we'll lift, we'll stretch, we'll get all the stuff out of the way, and then it's up Route 18. Get ready for your next one and let them deal with us.
You know, I don't know if you saw it, your face in a way, but you got two of the biggest fans, your superintendent, your principal just walked in, Vinny Delicardillo and Tommy Farrell.
Where'd
so, you know, it's nice to have the administration backing you, huh?
Yeah, it's great. Sure Regional's a great school, and with the guys we have working there, it's fantastic, you know.
Definitely two, maybe as many as four on the schedule still for Shore Regional. They'll take on Palmyra in the 1-8 game on Friday night, tomorrow night, at the home of the Blue Devils. Guys, thanks so much for coming down, giving us a few minutes here. Best of luck. Hope to see you next week, and obviously as you roll through towards maybe another berth in the state championship. Matt, great to have you down here. Coach, always good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Try to get a wing away from the big guy over there, okay?
Mark Costantino, Matt Mew here talking Shore Regional football. We'll step out for a couple minutes. We'll come right back and move into our next segment. You're listening to the Investors Bank Thursday Night High School Football Show here on the Shore Sports Network.
It's what every team strives for. The state high school football playoffs, they begin this weekend. Two dozen Shore Conference teams going in with the hope of maybe getting to that first weekend in December and playing for a state championship or a state sectional championship. One of those teams for sure, Colts Neck. The Cougars open up the Central Jersey Group 4 playoffs on Saturday in the afternoon when they host Neptune. Their head coach in his fifth season there and was one of our coaches of the year last year is Greg LaCava, and he brings with him a player who has done a lot for Colts Neck football over these past couple of years as a running back and a linebacker, senior Anthony Gargiulo. Nice to have you both here. And Greg, as always, we'll kind of start with you, and this is where you want to be, right? This is what it's all about in those hot days in August.
Absolutely. This is the time of year everyone as a coach and as a player, you strive to get here, and we're fortunate enough to be here. Our players have been responding week in and week out. And, now we'll see. You know, it's a one-game playoff. It's a one-game season. And, we just have to keep moving forward. And our goal is to get to Rutgers.
Do you take these games any different than you take a game during the regular season? I mean, is your routine all the same? Do you try and just treat it like another football game?
Just another game. And that's something that we always preach to our players. You know, we're going to prepare the same way for every team, no matter what it is, no matter who we're playing and what time of year we're playing. You know, we don't think it's not something that we try to do to make a game bigger than it really is, because our kids do have to perform.
Let's bring Anthony in now. Anthony, last year you had a whole bunch of leaders on this team. A lot of them have graduated. Tremendous season last year, 9-2. This year, you're the man. Tell us what it involves as far as being the leader of this Cougar team.
Well, being an important leader on this team and being a starter from last year, it's just you got to treat everybody the same. We can't have anybody being higher than anybody else. Second string running backs as important as the first. our scout team line is as important as our starting line, because we got to use everybody. We need everybody out there doing the best we can do.
Of course, you're a two-way player, tremendous running back, but you also play some pretty good defense. You know, you like that side of the ball, don't you? I could tell.
I like it, both sides. It really doesn't matter.
You like to be on the field,
yeah,
right?
On the field's all I care about.
You know, Greg, we just had Mark Costantino on, and he's, you know, almost over 20 years at Shore Regional with a lot of success. So he's got a program. Mm-hmm. And I know what you're looking to do at Colts Neck is build a program. You lost a lot of really good football players last year. I mean, an outstanding – you were loaded last year.
Right.
The fact that you're where you are right now must make you feel like you are now taking that step to, hey, we're going to turn over players every year, but we expect to be good every year.
Definitely. I think that when I got hired for this job, I told our administrators and our athletic director it was going to take us 4 years to instill our program and what we want our players to do and how they should be handling themselves on and off the football field. We were fortunate enough last year that it all came to fruition. And I think right now, because we've all been together and like you said, we don't have highs and lows as a coaching staff. We coach the same way no matter what, you know, season it is, no matter, you know, where we are in the rankings, no matter who the team that we're playing is. So our kids understand this is the way it's going to be done. They know offensively, defensively, and special teams, this is what we expect. And by being part of it from as sophomores starting, they understand what it's going to take to keep moving forward, you know, in their junior and senior years. So that hasn't been an issue with us at all. I think we have established a solid program. But that's a tribute to our players and to our assistant coaches. You know, I always say our players win the games. We as coaches are facilitators. We're going to guide them in the right direction, show them how it's done on and off the field, and then, you know, they get all the glory and they deserve it because they work hard.
Anthony, last year you graduated one of the top quarterbacks in the Shore, Mike Campbell. You had to replace your quarterback. That's sometimes, you know, not easy to do. Chris Sanchez has done a tremendous job. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, you know, it's not easy to really replace anybody on the field. But, yeah, quarterback is definitely one of the hardest ones to replace. Sanchez has really grown and become more relaxed in that spot now, because in the beginning he was a little shaky, you know, because of the importance of that spot.
Position.
But he's definitely grown and become more comfortable in that spot now.
All right, Coach, let's talk a little bit about last week's game at Middletown South, a team that you've seen a lot of these last couple of years.
Right.
Played them twice last year, beat them in the regular season, lost a tough one in the playoffs. And you went in last weekend, you know, kind of the last game before the playoffs. You know you want to go in on a high. It was a terrific football game. Mm-hmm. How did it feel satisfying getting that win in overtime?
It was great for our program, great for our kids. And our message leading into that game was, don't worry about winning the football game. Worry about winning each play. And I think, you know, that came to fruition. You know, going into overtime in that situation, you know, we knew that if we played each play to win that play, we would be successful in the end. And our kids came through.
Let's talk a little bit about this bracket now in Central Jersey Group 4. In speaking with you off the air before you came on, not real happy that you drew another Shore team and the Flyers of Neptune. Not an easy team to play.
You know, again, going into the playoffs, every team is a good football
right.
team, no matter what their ranking is, no matter what their record
right.
is. And, you know, I've had a lot of experience with Neptune as a player and a coach. They are very athletic, very tough. You know, they're fast. So, you know, I think anyone in my position would say the same thing. You know, Neptune is always a very good football team. So we have to play to the best of our ability. We cannot make any mistakes. We can't turn the football over. You know, we just have to take care of, you know, the little things. And I think that it's a tough draw in the first round. But you know what? We're here, so we're going to do the best we can, and we're going to keep moving forward.
Anthony, home field advantage, very important, okay? One of the few teams in the Shore that doesn't have lights. You play all your games on Saturday afternoon. You like it?
Yeah, it's something you grow to like. You know, everybody always
and
wants that.
And also on a grass field.
Yeah.
Not many of them around either.
Yeah, it's something you grow to like because, yeah, everybody always wants that Friday night game on turf, everybody coming out. But, you know, Saturdays they work fine because our Cougar Den is our main fan group. They've really been strong this year. So I think Friday night, Saturday night, Saturday, they'll be there.
That's the voice of Anthony Gargiulo, the outstanding senior running back and linebacker from Colts Neck, joining us along with his head coach, Greg LaCava. By the way, Ed, let's give a couple of some of Anthony's numbers because they're impressive. After rushing for nearly 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns last year and catching a couple of touchdown passes as well, it's not like he left it all on the field last year. So far this year, 124 carries for 1,095 yards, averaging almost 9 yards every time he touches, has scored 17 touchdowns, not catching it as much when you lose an all-shore quarterback, but he's got 4 receptions for almost 100 yards and a touchdown. And you talked about defense, 92 tackles, 4 sacks, 1 interception, 5 forced fumbles, and he sold the most popcorn at the Colts Neck home games this year. He's done it all.
Well, you know, Anthony and Greg, both of you, I saw you play a couple of times last year. I saw the Middletown South game, you know, tremendous all over the field. And I said, I kept, looking at you on the field, but then I would, my mind would go to the sideline, and there was Dad jumping up and down. Your biggest fan, right?
Yeah, he's a big fan.
Greg, you keep him busy, right? You keep him doing stats, right?
Sal does a great job supporting our program.
He sure does.
And, he's always got a smile on his face, as you can tell right here. it's the whole family. They're great people. You know, he's got 2 younger brothers also that are coming through the program.
Oh, that's nice
to
have.
His mom is a wonderful woman, and it's good that we have, that they're part of our program.
And while we're on the subject, what about your future plans next year?
I'm still open to things because there are a few schools that say they're going to wait a little bit to either give me an offer or not. I'm not 100% sure right now, but I have offers from Yale, Dartmouth, and Navy, the Naval Academy.
Struggling with the academics, huh?
Yeah. I'm keeping all the doors open right now because I don't want to close the door on anybody yet.
Are most schools talking to you as a running back or a linebacker?
They mainly start as linebacker, but some of the schools are starting to just look at me as both, but mainly as a fullback, not a halfback.
Okay. But for you, you're not right now. It's the future is now, and it's Neptune this week. You know, Coach, this is Ed mentioned a little bit, it's like a short conference tournament bracket.
Right.
And you could, and I know it's one game at a time, but you could see teams you're very familiar with.
Right.
For example, it's not impossible, should you beat Neptune in round 2, Middletown North or Nottingham, and I know Middletown North is only a 7 seed, but they played much better at the end of the year. You played them in the 4th game of the season, beat them 42-0. It's possible you could see Middletown South again in a championship game. Should you both get there. Mm-hmm. Brick is also there as a top seed. We'll have a couple of home games. Are you, and I know you said you'd prefer maybe not to play a short team in the opener, but do you like the idea of playing teams that you at least have some familiarity with, or are you one of those I'd play a team that we only know about on film?
To us, really, it doesn't matter. I mean, when playoffs come, everything changes. So it happened to us last year against Middletown South. I mean, it's very difficult, I believe, to play a team twice. I'd rather see someone that we have not seen. But again, we're just happy to be here. We're going to keep preparing the best we can, and we're going to show up on Saturday and give our best effort and hope that's good enough.
Coach, I'm a defensive guy. You got to mention Tommy Letson.
Absolutely.
And the job that he has done.
Mm-hmm.
5 shutouts on the year. I mean, the first four games,
yeah.
No points allowed.
Right.
You know, we were kidding. We were doing a game that 5th game, and when St. John's Vianney scored a touchdown, and we said, that's it. They're going to fire the defensive coordinator, But mention some of him and your other assistants.
Tommy is one of my closest friends. We go back a long way. He coached me in high school, and everywhere I've been as a head coach, he's been my defensive coordinator. I don't think anyone does it like him. I believe he's the best defensive coordinator, I would venture to say in the state of New Jersey. He has his own unique way, and I'm sure Anthony can attest to that. He just gets our kids to play, and he understands what it takes for the particular group of kids that he has, what it's going to take to be successful. And, I wouldn't do it with anybody else. And then I was able to get Derek Sininski and Jack Nascimento with us from St. John Vianney, who went to St. John Vianney, and Derek and I coached at Middletown South. He's a great coach, too. And Jack, you know, Derek spoke highly of Jack, and I trust the people that I know that if they're going to give me someone, then I trust that, you know, they're going to be good football
coaches.
You
let them coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anthony, you can't let us hang now. His own unique way, you got to give us a couple of insight as far as that's concerned.
Well, he's a type of man that gets fired up over any practice or game or walkthrough or anything. He's just, during bye week, he was the one that was jumping around, going, let's get ready. We got a game coming up. Coaches,
we don't play this week.
We're good. He is something else, but he is a great coach. I love the way he coaches. I love the intensity he brings. And I think the team loves it too.
As a senior, is there a different mentality for you now? And I know because of this, you know what I said, this god-awful state format where you're going to still play a regular season game against Howell on Thanksgiving. But kind of the tournament is one and done. So when if the Neptune game ends Saturday about 4 o'clock and you look up and they have more points than you, in terms of winning a champ, that's over. Does it bring a different mentality for you when you get on the field knowing that it's almost, it could be the last really big game?
It does. You go through practice and you realize, wow, I'm a senior now and I'm leaving this program. And you do almost go out there more of an urge to just give everything you got. Even though I can say I give it all my might every other game. But, yeah, no, it's definitely hitting us seniors that it's almost over.
I mean, even in practice, because, you know, when you started in the summer, it was hot and humid, and now you had a couple of days this week, got a little chill. It's a different feel to it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like yesterday, it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
So that's
come
a big
on,
difference.
It's the first cold day we've had all year.
Yeah.
Just about. The weather has been great,
yeah,
right, Greg?
It's been great.
I mean, you know, shorts, I'm sure,
absolutely.
The coaches and the shorts the whole season until this week.
I have learned one thing in all my years of coaching. I will never stand on the field and freeze as a coach anymore. I had every piece of clothing, hats, gloves, everything.
The Spartan days are over.
They're over. Those days are over. But, yeah, it's been a great season. You know, the weather's been great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still going, so we're happy that it's still going, and we're just going to keep plugging along.
I do want to ask you, the one game you lost against Manalapan, mm-hmm. How good are they?
They're very, very good. I mean, we knew going in that it would take, you know, they forced us into making mistakes that we don't normally make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sign of a very, very good football team. You know, they're tough to defend. You know, they have, obviously, number 10 outside, and they can run the football, and the quarterbacks. You know, one of their quarterbacks was hurt, but still, I don't even pay attention to names. I worry about numbers.
Saeed Blacknall.
Yeah,
number 10.
I try to forget those names. But they're big, they're physical, they come at you fast. They did a great job. You know, they deserve to win the football game.
And what you had to be happy, though, is, you know, you picked yourself right back up, came back the following week, got a win, and then, of course, Middletown South. And I think that was almost like a playoff atmosphere for you, because you definitely did not want to go into this tournament having lost 2 of 3.
Right, I agree. You know, it was a big game, and, you know, like I said, anytime you go to Middletown and play them on their home field, it's got a different feel to it. You know, we were fortunate enough to come away with the win in overtime. And, you know, we bent and we didn't break on the defensive side of the ball. We made some big plays on the offensive side of the ball, and they were the difference in the game. So, you know, we're just going to keep moving forward.
Last question, or one of the last questions. Who pulled the light switch last week? What happened?
That's funny. I was talking to Steve Antonucci before the game, and he's like, we were just on the field 2 nights ago, and everything worked fine. And
the lights went out, right?
The lights went out.
The game was delayed about 40 minutes.
Delayed about 40 minutes, but, you know, both Coach Antonucci and I decided we're going to play whether the lights are on or not. So we just, and then they came on, so we were good.
Well, listen, we appreciate you taking a ride down here from Colts Neck and breaking a little bread with us and talking a little Colts Neck football. It's been nice back-to-back, really good years, as you said, many more to come. Wish you a lot of luck against Neptune, and who knows, we may see you down somewhere along the way.
In the finals.
Anthony, absolute best of luck to you. Stay healthy for the rest of this year, and whatever your future holds, we wish you nothing but the best. Those Ivy League schools will probably prepare you pretty well for life. Naval Academy's not bad either, so enjoy the process.
Thank you very much.
From Colts Neck, of course, their head coach, Greg LaCava, and Anthony Gargiulo, their outstanding running back and linebacker. The Cougars open up on Saturday at home against Neptune. They look to take another step to a possible state sectional championship. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with our own Scott Stump as we get set for the opening round of the state playoffs. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7. The Hawk. And still to come, we'll talk with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan in his regular spot. And, of course, we'll chat with Barnegat High School quarterback St. John Erskine as the Bengals get set to open up the state playoffs tomorrow night. Our fearless picks coming up at the end of the show and much more. But as he does each and every Thursday, joining us on the line is our own Scott Stump from ShoreSportsNetwork.com. And Scott, we started all tomorrow with two dozen teams looking to get a couple of state sectional titles. That bitter feeling for the Shore last year. Is that streak going to end this year?
I think it could end, actually, in a major way. I mean, looking at it, I don't think it's crazy to think the Shore Conference could win six titles this year if everything broke in their favor.
I'm going to write that down right now. Okay.
Scott, as I'm looking at it, it looks like, unless I'm missing someone, there are five top seeds that are Shore Conference teams among the brackets that have some Shore Conference teams within them. Manasquan, Brick Township, Manalapan, Shore Regional, and Rumson. Any of those teams have to worry about anything tomorrow night or this weekend?
I mean, Manalapan has a local team, Brick Memorial. Obviously, you know, sometimes it can be tough for the team that's at least familiar with you. But, I mean, Manalapan's just been head and shoulders better than everybody this season. Brick, I think, will be really boosted by the return of Carmen Sclafani. And, they're playing a sub-500 West Windsor team. So I think they should be okay. So, no, I think all the top seeds, you know, obviously Manasquan has the rivalry game with Wall. You know, you never know what can happen in a game like that, but Wall has lost five straight. Manasquan's definitely the team to beat in that bracket. So I think the number one seed should all handle our business.
You know, we have not spent a lot of time this season on a weekly basis, Scott, talking about Red Bank Catholic because, for the most part, they have just blown through their schedule. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about, well, you know, they're going to lose in the semifinals to St. Joseph's of Montvale. And I guess I'm one of those that would say I would caution everyone to think that RBC's got an automatic W tomorrow night, because this Immaculata team that comes to Count Basie Field is not a bad team at all.
No, if I'm going to cover that game tomorrow night, because I think it's going to be a really tough game for RBC, and it's their chance to kind of validate that their dominance during the regular season was for real. I mean, like it or not, they carry the torch for the Shore Conference. They're the undisputed number one team. Although I shouldn't say undisputed, the Manalapan fans would probably dispute that. But
yes, they would.
You know, if they somehow flopped and lost this game tomorrow night, it then kind of lets people write off Shore Conference football. Hey, that's your number one team. So there's some pressure in that regard. And yet, Immaculata 6-3. They just beat a previously undefeated Phillipsburg team. You know, they have a good running attack. They have a defensive end, Joseph Vitiello, that's going to Boston College. So they got some guys. They run the ball well, and they're a traditionally strong program, so they're not going to be intimidated by any means going to Count Basie. So you're right. I think that's going to be a real dogfight, especially given that RBC hasn't been challenged this year. So, you know, if that game is real tight in the third and fourth quarter, that's essentially a situation RBC hasn't experienced since last season.
And just a quick follow-up for that, and I hate using the word pressure when we're talking about 17- and 18-year-old kids, but is it fair to say that no team has more pressure on them entering the playoffs than RBC based on what's happened this year and now the fact that they're going up against superior competition in some cases?
Yeah, because I think a lot of times what's thrown out there is, hey, you know, they can get players from all over, and now that they're on a level playing field with schools that also can do the same thing, they need to step up and show they can beat those teams rather than just hammering all the local teams. So you're right. I think, you know, they're kind of under the gun a little bit to have a good showing tomorrow night and then at least try and go up and give St. Joe's a game. I mean, St. Joe's is ranked number one in the nation in some polls, so it's tough for anybody to give them a really good game. But still, I think people expect them to validate everything they've done in the regular season, or they're going to almost consider it a disappointment if they don't really live up to expectations.
Scott, a four seed or lower from the shore, anybody have a chance?
I'll
give you the schools.
Middletown South. I mean, they've
yeah, they're the one.
Finals in what 10 of the last 12 years.
Yeah.
They're a 4 seed at home in what looks like a fairly wide open Central Jersey Group 4 bracket. I mean, they took the number 3 seed Colts-Neck to overtime last weekend, and they beat the number 1 seed Brick earlier in the season. Plus, you know, they have a long time playoff pedigree, so I would certainly give them a shot. I feel like Long Branch as a number 5 seed in Central 3, and they'll have a tough game against Carteret on the road, another perennial contender that won a sectional title last year. But I would think they have a real chance to possibly make a run at the final in Central 3, given that Lawrence, the number 1 seed, has never even won a state playoff game in its program history. So I would also put Long Branch as an underdog that can make a run. And then you never know about Asbury Park in Central Jersey Group 1. They lost 10-0 to Shore and 10-7 on a late field goal to Point Beach. So they weren't that far behind the teams we're talking about being the favorites in that bracket. So I think I would keep an eye on them as well.
Scott, what about the South Jersey side? You know, take maybe the Group 3 spot out where you've got Manasquan and Barnegat and Central and Wall with the Shore teams. If you look at 4 and 5, always traditionally very difficult for maybe a Shore Conference team to break through. Jackson in Group 5, Lacey and Toms River South in Group 4. Any of those teams have a chance to maybe win a title?
Well, I think Toms River South has a chance to at least make the finals. I mean, if they run into Timber Creek on the other side of that, I think that's too tall of an order for anybody. I mean, Timber Creek's kind of the overwhelming favorite in that bracket, but you know, Toms River South, if they have to face Hamilton, who's a, you know, or Shawnee, two very good teams in the semis, at least it's at home, so you never know. Jackson is really tough, has a tough road, because Rancocas Valley is a scary team just in the first round. If they win that game, they most likely have to go to Cherokee, who's probably the slight favorite to win the whole bracket. Those are two really tough games, so I think it's kind of an uphill battle at both of those brackets for the Shore.
Talking with Scott Stump of our own Shore Sports Network. Of course, ShoreSportsNetwork.com, your complete source for all Shore Conference football news. Scott does a great job along with Bob Batters and Matt Manley. You know, Matt touched on the number one seeds when he first got John, and I hate to use that word easy, but which number one seed do you think has the easiest road to winning a sectional championship?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe Shore Regional and Central 1, but again, they're going to have to most likely run into Asbury Park in the semis and then Point Beach in the finals, so that's not a simple road. And I mean, South Jersey Group 3, the way it shook out, you know, Manasquan may have to beat the defending champion, Delcy, who we know is a longtime established program, in the semifinals, although that game would be at Warrior Field, which I think is a big swing there. But you're right. I don't know. There's no number one seed that I could just say, oh, that's going to be a walkthrough, because, yes, Manalapan is an excellent team, but they could have to go through Sayreville in the semifinals, who we know has had their number and won 3 state titles, and then they're probably going to have to beat another good team after that. So I don't really see anybody having any sort of, you know, cakewalk to the finals.
Scott, Rumpson's in a pretty good spot to make at least the finals. Then they're going to probably run into a very talented, undefeated Weequake team.
Right, that's what I said. I mean, if you're talking about winning the final, yeah, I think
right.
Rumpson's still going to have a tough game. If you're saying making the final, then you're right.
Well,
I would say Rumpson probably has the most favorable road to getting to the championship game, but you're right. Weequake, who beat them in the first round last year, it's going to be, a clash of two really good teams there in the championship game. A
couple of other teams I'll just throw at you real quick as we get ready to wrap up the spot and give me what, you know, your thoughts are on them. Ocean kind of has flies under the radar a little bit. They've had a very, very good season. They're the second seed in Central Jersey Group 3, opening up tomorrow night against Warren Hills. You like their shot to make some noise here?
Yeah, I think they can win this whole bracket. I mean, I guess it all really comes down to, are these teams with the sparkling records from Mercer County legitimate in that bracket? Are Lawrence and Hopewell Valley for real? If they're not, I think Ocean's got to be the favorite, just given their playoff history. They've done it before. Those other teams haven't, and Ocean has a championship-level defense. The only question mark is their offense in a lot of games has really struggled, and they'd have to win games, you know, 7-3, 7-6, which could be a tall order in the playoffs.
And can we show a little love for modern-day prep? Could they pull an upset on Saturday against the number 2 seed, Morristown Beard in non-public group 1?
I guess anything's possible, especially given the fact that Modern Day is coming off a big upset over Spotswood, 30-24 in overtime. I mean, Morristown Beard averages 34 points a game, has only been held under 27 once all season, and I think that may be a little bit of a tall order, but hey, you never know. I mean, Modern Day is 4-0 against teams outside the short conference this year, so if that holds up for them, that would lead to believe that maybe they got a real shot.
All right, so tomorrow night you are RBC Immaculata. You got a game on Saturday as well?
Yes, I'll be doing Neptune Colts Neck in Central Jersey Group 4.
All right, so you can check them out on ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Scott, give your for those that don't know, your to follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, it's Scott_Stump, so just Scott Stump, real easy.
All right, join the many that follow him. He'll give you the scores. He'll be following the fortunes again of RBC tomorrow and Colts Neck Neptune on Saturday. Scott, always a pleasure. Have a good football weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. You too.
All right, it's our own Scott Stump from ShoreSportsNetwork.com. We take a break, a quick break at the top of the hour. We make a transition and talk a little Monmouth University Hawk football with Coach Kevin Callahan. We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. And we hit the home stretch a little bit, and as we get set for the opening round of the state high school football playoffs, things still to come, but as we do in this spot every week, we talk Monmouth Hawks football. Monmouth back to the 500 mark. It's been up and down the last few weeks, but it's an up note after a 23-6 win over Wagner this past Saturday, and coming up this coming Saturday, a little trip to Smithfield, Rhode Island to take on Bryant Bulldogs. In his 21st season as the only head coach in Monmouth history, Kevin Callahan joins us as he always does in this spotlight. And Coach, looking to get over that 500 mark. It's been a battle all season long, but you've got yourself in position and a shot to do it again this Saturday.
Well, we have. And, you know, I got to give our team a lot of credit. They've played tremendously well down the home stretch here. You know, we've started out with we were 0-3, and then we got on a bit of a run here. And, you know, in each of the last, I guess, 3 weeks, we were kind of on again, off again. But I really like where we are right now, and I think our team is extremely well-focused and ready for this game at Bryant.
Coach, when you think about, you know, how the season has gone up until this point, lose three, win three, and then have alternated, you know, wins and losses a little bit since that point. You're just looking, I would think, to close things out on just more of a consistent level and not have that yo-yo effect that's been the last couple of weeks.
The word, Matt, is finish. We've got to finish out the season. Just like we talk to our players every week about finishing the game, we've got to finish the season. This game is probably a very critical game for us in this year. In order to have a winning season, we have to get this sixth win.
And this is a team that you lost the last year at home, 27-24. Of course, Bryant was a Northeast Conference foe of yours, and they're 4-6 overall, 2-3 in the NEC. What can you tell us in a nutshell about the Bulldogs?
Well, they're a team that, from the offensive side, likes to run the ball. That's what they're made of, and that's what they're going to try and do. They've had terrific running games over the years, and they've got an outstanding receiver, a guy by the name of Jordan Harris, who was the Northeast Conference Offensive Player of the Year in 2012. When they have their running game going, they really like to throw the play action with maximum protection up to Jordan Harris. And, you know, we've got to stop the run, and we have to do a good job about him. On the defensive side, they give you a lot of different looks. They're going to throw everything at you. They're going to do whatever they can to stop you from running the ball.
Coach, something that's got to make you happy, along with the running back coach and the offensive line coach, is that it looks like you're going to have two backs over 1,000 yards this year in Julian Hayes and KB Asante. The running game's been great all year.
It has, Ed, and we've been doing a very good job there. And as you said, it's as much a credit to our offensive line as it is to our two terrific backs. We're not there yet, though. And I think if we can get those guys primed and closer to 1,000 yards, it's going to make our chances that much easier on Saturday.
Of course, the last road game of the season, and that's got to be some sweet news to your ears a little bit. It has been a road-heavy schedule, making the trip to Rhode Island on Saturday. Just wondering, when will you go? You go up Friday for that game?
Yeah, we will actually practice at Monmouth tomorrow. We'll leave just after lunch. We'll pull in there probably about 5 o'clock and then do our normal Friday night meetings and meals and things like that.
Noontime start, by the way, on Saturday. And as always, you can hear it on our Short Sports Network, including 1160 and 1310 AM.
Coach, in the 5 wins so far that Monmouth has had, you know, if you look back at it, and I know it's a team game, certainly for sure, but in those games that Monmouth has defeated their opponent, I think one of the differences between wins and losses this year has just been how the defense has played, especially up front. You know, anytime it seems like Monmouth has success, they get pressure on the quarterback with guys coming off the edge a little bit. They've been able to close down some pretty good rushing attacks, as evidenced last week with the win against Wagner. It was one of the better performances the team has had defensively all year.
It was, Matt. And, you know, I go back to the Liberty game, and I think that's the game where our defense began to come of age. Coming out of that game, although it was a loss, I felt that our front seven, and I may have said it on the show, played extremely well and really took Liberty out of their tremendous running attack. And I think since that game, we've improved each and every week, and we're continuing to improve. And I do have to credit the play of our front seven on defense, although, you know, in the Cornell game, I thought our coverage people did a terrific job as well. So it's a group that's coming together. They're beginning to gain a lot of confidence, and I think it comes at the right time.
Talking with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan. Coach, I know one of the things you talk about often, and certainly when you and your staff recruits, is academics. You've got to be really pleased that 4 of your players earned academic all-district honors this past week.
Kevin, that's very important to us, and as you know, that's one of the 3 things that we look for when we go out and recruit a young man, is the importance of academics. And to have 4 guys named to the all-district, all-American team is certainly outstanding. Andrew Sutton makes it for his 3rd consecutive year, and that just goes to show you that the guys in our program, they understand the balance between academics and athletics, and they're 100% dedicated in both areas. And it's really good to see them being acknowledged for their performance and as such.
I want to mention, and the other 3, by the way, you mentioned Andrew Sutton, kicker Eric Spillane, offensive guard Reese Johnston, and defensive back Joe Johnson, all 4 of them earning those academic honors, and congratulations to them. And it's the most you've ever had in program history. I'm sure you'll look to better that number next year. But the number you're looking to better is the 5-5 record. And I get the sense just from your comments in the last few minutes that you are really putting a lot into this game, because this is the one that you need in order to have a winning season. It'll make Thanksgiving dinner taste a lot better, right?
That's exactly right. This is certainly the one. Our team understands that. Our staff understands that. And that's all that we're thinking about right now.
All right, Cal, good luck this Saturday. Again, a noontime kick. Matt and Eddie Acapinti will call the action on the Shore Sports Network. Have a good trip up. Most importantly, have a good trip back. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Kevin Callahan, the Monmouth University head coach. He goes on his way.
Strange season, huh, Matt, for Monmouth? Very strange this year.
You know, Matt,
growing
honestly,
pains.
I kind of felt like going into this year.
500?
I thought it could be a bad year just because of the schedule and all the road games and all that. You know, and, you know, you lose those first 3, and especially that Lehigh loss, which is definitely a game they should have won, and you start saying 0-3, boy, this could be bad. I actually think it's been a better year than a lot of people would have thought back in early September.
I think if you looked at it, you know, took the first half of the season and then the second half of the season, I would say that the first half of the year, you know, one disappointment with the Lehigh game that kind of maybe let them off the hook a little bit. But to be 3-3 after the first 6 games of the schedule, I think going into the year, a lot of people would have said, okay, we'll take that, you know. And
oh,
I would
absolutely
agree with the way that the schedule kind of set up, and nobody really quite knew what to expect out of either Holy Cross or Columbia, 2 games that Monmouth won. I think it's been the second half of the year that has been a little bit befuddling to the coaches and maybe those that follow the team a little bit, because quite honestly, if you look at St. Francis and Sacred Heart, I think that Monmouth may be a little more talented than both of those teams, but it kind of gives you the idea that you've got to make sure that you play well. It doesn't matter who you play. You might have more talent, but if you don't play the way that you're supposed to, you're going to walk off the field without a win.
And how about the fact that one of the last high school games he played, we had Joe Johnson here, and that night when he left and we talked off the air, we said he was going to be a great football player for Monmouth and also handled himself so well academically.
Yeah, no question about it.
Well, we've talked to him, you know, in each of the 2 years that he's been at Monmouth. We've had him on the coach's show, and he continues to be extremely well-spoken. He is very focused on his academics, and I know that's really important to the coach and the school, the athletic department. And this year, in terms of his game, he has elevated his game so much, playing a tough spot, you know, corner where you're basically out on an island. What he looked like last year, kind of thrown into the fire as a freshman, and what he looks like this year, two totally, totally different players.
The best news is he's got 2 years left. We're going to take a quick break.
I was just going to say, credit Gerald O'Donnell and the Manchester program for that.
We're going to take a break, our final break, and then we come back. We're going to talk about that tall, left-handed quarterback from Barnegat High School. We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.